And we'll let Hillary do the barking. Good morning. It is Capital Call this morning, and Capital Call this morning, as usual, brought to you by Phillips 66. And it looks like Chairman Sears, we're starting off. Good morning, sir.
Charlie, thank you, and welcome to all of our listeners. The first thing I want to say, and quite frankly, didn't have this planned, but I got to tell you, at Rotary this morning, Charlie Shipman was a guest. His lovely wife is a member of our club. Charlie's a near and dear friend of mine. And he just stopped me and he said, Earl, I just want you to know people are feeling, hoping and knowing that we're thinking about you and John and Travis and the hole that you're facing and the ordeal you're dealing with at the Capitol. And I told Charlie, you know, Charlie, we get that comment at the Capitol. We get it when we get back home. And I want our listeners to know we do have a challenge. It's a $1.3 billion hole. But the good news is it's people you know, I don't think anybody dislikes us, but you may be frustrated with some of our votes. But the bottom line to it is the three of us that are elected from this area to represent this the good people from up in this area of our great state and the members that we're working with, we get it. We know we have this challenge. And quite frankly, we're all doing well. This isn't a flippant moment. We understand the challenge in front of us, but we're all working diligently. And I'll let the senator speak on behalf of the Senate. But on the House side, Representative Dunlap is literally, I'm just so proud of him. I put together working groups, opening up the budgeting process, look for solutions. And he immediately went to the big one, and that is tax credits, tax exemptions, sales tax. I mean, there's huge amounts of money in that particular area that we need reform in. That's easier said than done, but he stepped right up and he's working in that along with many other members. We get it. We're meeting the challenge. We're working on behalf of the people of Oklahoma. And Charlie, even with the hole, and there's going to be budget cuts, but the good news is we will step up, meet this challenge, and we will be better for it in Oklahoma, and we will have a balanced budget. And we're just doing the right thing, but we're taking our challenge very seriously. A lot of weight on our shoulders, but we're dealing with it. And I'm very, very proud of the Senate and the House as well.
Chairman, as long as you're there, and I know John has a couple of issues he wants to talk about. It's too early to talk specifics, but are there specific areas that you will try to hold harmless? And I know you've mentioned a couple of them in the past.
The answer to that question is, Charlie, but this year when you say hold harmless, I can't say they'll be flat. But there is no question. Let's just be right up front. We can't cut the corrections real deep. We just can't. It's just that simple. It's 122% capacity. Our prisons are full. We're looking at avenues in regards to some, quite frankly, Representative Dunlap has a bill to help us there in regards to helping that situation. But I want our constituents to know we're not going to open the doors to prisons and let hardened criminals that are harming our families in this great state. But the drugs, not only in Oklahoma, but across this nation, it's just a plague. And we got to get smarter about that. Instead of locking up, throw away the key, what can we do to get better programs to help these people to get off this horrendous drug? But again, it's not a short-term fix. It's just not. But you, to answer your question, no. I can't tell you that every budget will be affected. Quite frankly, with the revenue failure, that just automatically, the three of us have nothing to do with that. It's just simple mathematics. If the money's not there due to the oil sector, we have to come in and balance those budgets because we have a constitutional requirement that says we will have a balanced budget. So the cuts come in automatically. Can we soften the blow when we build the 17 budget? By all means, we can. But I just can't tell you that there's no budget that won't be affected, but there are those that will have the priorities. And I use corrections, but let there be no mistake. Education is absolutely a priority on the Senate side and the House side, and what the least possible damage that we can do to the education budget.
Okay. And the Associated Press referred to you as the state senator from Tulsa, but I guess we're going to...
Whatever.
Yeah, I don't care either way. Earl shoved the mic your direction, so I assume that is somebody had a plan.
Well, in the Senate, we always do what the House members tell us to, especially my representative.
I will not disagree with you, sir. Good morning, John.
Hello, Charlie. Two things that I wanted to visit about. One I'm pleased about, one I'm a little sad about. First, I'll talk about consolidation or mergers or annexation. I truly believe that with 519 schools, we have some that have pre-kindergarten through 12th grade with only 63 students. that there are ways that we can improve the quality of education. So I have filed bills. There have been several others that have filed bills. One was defeated in the House. I think consolidation is the right thing to do. Unfortunately, I think now is probably not the time that it's going to occur. So I am not hearing my bill in the Education Committee on Monday. There were three other House bills or Senate bills. I am not hearing those. President Pro Tem Bingaman has reassigned his bills, his bill on consolidation of dependent schools to rules. He's going to try to see if he can muster support to get it out of the rules. So we will see where that goes. But this is something that long term we've got to continue having the discussion with those that support it, those that are concerned about it, and see what we can do to create a legitimate, good policy that will improve the quality of education and not totally disadvantage, as some perceive, small communities. The issue that I'm very pleased is moving forward. I sat on the Public Safety Committee and we presented the bill on the Real ID. This is something that's been going on a number of years, came after 9/11. It's to put in our driver's license in every state some information so that we help protect the safety as citizens travel, and it just, we know who's where as far as safety traveling. Oklahoma, a number of years ago, opted out, as did many other states, concerned about the personal information that's going on that ID, and we didn't feel at that time it was appropriate. Now, as we have moved forward, the state has been receiving some exemptions so that citizens can continue flying, going in public building with our current ID, but that last exemption is about to run out. Mm-hmm. What I've said on this show earlier, what I've said publicly many paces, what I would like to see us do is adopt the federal requirements for the Oklahoma identification for our driver's license, but also for those that are concerned about their personal security of their information, allow them to opt out and to receive an Oklahoma driver's license without that identification. To me, that is a win-win for everybody. It lets the citizens choose which way they want to go. We pass that out of public safety in the Senate. It will come to the floor of the Senate, then we'll head to the House. You know, there is an expense to this because it is the equipment, and maintaining the security of that information is paramount. But I think we have it worked out so that most vested groups, the tag agents, everybody, it's going to work out. The price is going up a little bit for driver's licenses. Right now we're looking at maybe $35. Wow. Although if you're over 65, it's going to continue being free. So I think it's the right way that a piece of legislation works forward. It allows those in our state that feel differently to still be able to live with their beliefs and their freedoms. So I'm very proud of the way that's moving forward.
Okay. We'll hear more if we have time. Mr. Dunlap, good morning, sir.
Good morning. Thank you for having us, and I'm excited to be here. Thanks to our sponsors for getting us this airtime. I wanted to pick up on something Chairman Sears was mentioning, and that's just the gratitude that we have for people in this district. In addition to the notes that we see of the people are thinking about us, I also receive notes that people are praying for us, and that's something that's really encouraging to hear. And feel free to share with us that anytime you see us or are interacting with us. I have been asked, and it's a great honor to be asked to do this, to be the incoming chairman of the Oklahoma Prayer Caucus. And so I will take over those full responsibilities in the future. And I'm trying to get my understanding of what that all is about. But if you are interested in being a part of that effort, please get in touch with me. And I'll be able to, in the future years, build a sort of a network of support across the state that is able to, from at least our side, being able to coordinate some communication back and forth. There's lots of groups in the state that coordinate within their own network. But from the House, there's no outreach to organize that. So I wanted to talk about a couple things. Just a couple of updates from bills that I've talked on the show about before. Mm-hmm. Last year, we passed a bill that I mentioned on the radio. It's House Bill 1044. And what it is it creates the Oklahoma Employees Suggestion Act. And what it's designed to do is, as people in the ranks of the employment agencies of Oklahoma see savings that can be made within their agencies, they make a suggestion. And when they make a suggestion, if it's acted upon and savings are made in that fiscal year, then that employee gets rewarded with a percentage of that savings. And so it's an incentive to save taxpayer money. Well, this past week in the House, we passed an update to that legislation. Before, the legislation applied to only agencies that had 10 employees or more. So we've expanded that to any state agency or any state employee. And we also we put a limit on the amount of incentive that can go to the employee. And so it has to be savings of over $5,000 that they find within that fiscal year. And then based on what the agency wants and the rules that is propagated by OMES, then the employee can get rewarded an incentive of up to 20% of the savings. And so that, I just really like that idea, and that's why I wanted to bring it up. One of my good friends, a representative from Tulsa, is running the bill, and we passed it this week on the House floor. So I'm hoping in the future that really incentivizes some savings within the system. So I wanted to bring that up. Also, I'll talk about the other thing Representative Sears referenced, the bill that I have that's wanting to help with the expungements of records. I won't help get anybody out of a sentence that they're in. It'll just expunge the record and maybe perhaps help with the recidivism rates as people get involved again in productive citizenry. There are limits to that sometimes in some cases because records hang over people's heads as they're trying to get jobs or promotions or move on in their life. And so as we all know, if you're engaged in producing in being productive in the free market, you're going to be less likely to be back into the criminal justice system. So thank you for bringing that and referencing that.
And just to make sure people understand, because it's been a week or so, we're talking about misdemeanors.
Yes, of course, nonviolent misdemeanors. So you can go read the text of the bill. It just has so many more hurdles to go. It's just hard to talk about specifics because I have no idea what floor amendments might come up, what the Senate amendments might be. So there's just a lot of hurdles to getting that in place.
Okay.
So,
well, thank you very much for your hard work. And, gentlemen, we've got, I don't know, two, three, four. We've got not more than 3 minutes left. But
well, let me just all committee work will be done next week. Mm-hmm. And then all of our action will be quite. You guys wrapped up this week, didn't you?
No.
Okay.
Committee's next week.
All committee work will be done next week, and then all of our action will be on the floor, and that's where you'll start reading. As the senator, I butchered her at every time. Here's your time to say it. Don't get give that line.
If you see a bill now that you really get excited about, don't get too excited. But if you see one you really dislike or you're concerned about, don't get too disappointed, because in all probability, it will change.
Right. Yeah, he's got it down to a science. But anyway, you'll see a lot of that. All of our work will be on the floor. But, Charlie, we'll continue to give you updates. The message I want to convey, you may not be hearing anything about the budget in regards to a deal's been cut or they're doing this or doing that, but I just cannot emphasize all energies at that Capitol. Numerous people at all levels, from the governor on down, had a meeting with the governor on Wednesday about the budget, from the governor on down, to our freshman member in the House of Representatives, and I know it's happening in the Senate. We are engaged in our budget, looking at all options, what we can do to continue to, I'll use this word, have a soft landing, knowing that there's going to be cuts. But on the same token, what you ask about what programs, again, we've already made our decisions. It's not just going to be straight across the board. Isn't going to happen. But I'm very, very pleased with that. And We're it's ongoing discussion. I know on the House side, we're meeting on a regular basis. In fact, I've thrown it up open every Tuesday morning at 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. I'm asking our members to come and share, talk, visit, hear updates in regards to the budget. Representative Dunlap hadn't missed one of those. Everybody's engaged, and we will get through this. And again, another shout out to Charlie. Charlie, thank you for your kind comments, and to all of you that are praying for us and knowing that we have this tough road ahead of us. But again, the good news is this is Oklahoma, and we will get through this, and Oklahoma will continue to function.
Okay.
Thank you, Phillip 66, and Charlie, we'll see you next Friday.
That sounds like a great deal. Thank you very much. And again, that's your local delegation on Capitol Call.
At Phillips 66 Gas, we strive to bring you the best in performance gasoline. But now we want to find the Phillips 66 of other things. Like Pee Wee linebacker Holden Hansen. He tackles quarterbacks like we tackle dirty injectors. He dislodges pigskins like we dislodge engine deposits. That's why he's the Phillips 66 of Pee Wee linebackers. For the Phillips 66 of gas, visit your local Phillips 66 station. We've been working for over 80 years to bring you the best in performance gasoline.
Mercy is the fact that God's going to take your issue seriously, not because it's a serious issue, but because it's your issue.
Pastor Andy Stanley explains on today's Focus on the Family Minute why Jesus relates with your pain.
Mercy is Jesus standing outside the tomb of Lazarus, and he already knows what he's going to do, and he already knows he's going to raise Lazarus from the dead, and he knows he's going to be the star of the show, and everything's going to work out. And Jesus walks up to the tomb of Lazarus, and before he does his big deal and his big miracle, before he intervenes the way they want him to intervene, this is so huge. Jesus pauses outside of the tomb of Lazarus, and the Bible says in John 11 that he wept. Your Savior understands, and he's not too big and busy to feel what you feel. Mercy is, I know. And you just keep bringing it every single time to me, and my frontline response to you is going to be mercy.
You'll hear more about God's mercy today at focusonthefamily.com/radio.